be with you.
And also with you.
Good morning, friends, and welcome to worship with us. It fills my heart for so many today and so many new and wonderful faces. Be welcome into this space. It is good that we are here together, and together we will encounter God in spirit, in word, and sacrament, and in the presence of each other. So let us begin with the words printed in our bulletin. This is the day the Lord has made.
Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
And I invite all those who can stand to stand now for our opening hymn, knowing that if you cannot stand, the church stands with and for you. Most merciful God,
we confess that we are in bondage to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us. Renew us and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen.
By water and the Holy Spirit, God gives you a new birth. and through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, God forgives you all your sins. The God of mercy and might strengthen you in all goodness and keep you in eternal life.
Amen. Amen.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. God among us, we gather in the name of your Son to learn love for one another.
Keep our feet from evil paths, turn our minds to your wisdom, and our hearts to the grace revealed in your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
Now we invite our children forward for a children's message. How are you today? How are you guys? School going well? A couple weeks in now, still liking it? Well, I thought we'd play a little game. It's a variation of a game we played a little bit before, so you guys can come over here. You might come over here. Well, in our text today, what are we? Oh, come here. You gotta turn around. We're gonna play a game. In our text today, Paul says to pray for everyone. So I want us to figure out what the term everyone or all means. So, by rows, I'm going to have people stand up and we can figure out whether this is all or not. So, but as always, before we do this, if you cannot stand, that is okay. Don't stand. The church stands for you. But if you can stand and would like to stand, can I have the first two rows of people stand up? Now, let me ask you, kids. Is the people standing all of us? Yes or no? No? No, it is not indeed all of us. So the next two stands, Rose, can you stand up for me? Okay, this all of us? No, no, no. Okay, the next two stand, Rose, stand up. Or maybe we have to come over here so we see better. Is this all of us? No? Okay, next two, Rose, stand up, please. Is this everybody? Now everybody stand up. Is this all of us? You think so? Well, no. Well, yes, yes, no, yes. Both are right, because it is all of us, but only the all of us is in this room. Do you think when we say we're praying for all or all are welcome, do you think it's just this group that's welcome? No, it's all the people out there that still aren't standing up, right? So when we're told to love, it's everybody in this room, and then everybody out there. And when we say all are welcome to this space, do we mean all the people here? Right? And then all the people out there too, right? All right, so let's pray, people. On the count of three, we're going to bring our hands together like we were praying. One, two, three. And repeat after me. Dear God.
Dear God.
Thank you for loving us.
Thank you for loving us.
Thank you for loving all.
Thank you for loving all.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Okay, good job.
A reading from the book of Amos. Hear now the word. Hear this, you who trample on the needy and bring ruin to the poor of the land, saying, when will the new moon be over so that we may sell grain, and the Sabbath so that we may offer wheat for sale? We will make the ephah smaller and the shekel heavier and practice deceit with false balances, buying the poor for silver and the needy for a pair of sandals and selling the sweepings of the wheat. The Lord has sworn by the pride of Jacob, surely I will never forget any of their deeds. Holy wisdom, holy word.
Thanks be to God.
The psalm may be found on page 5 of your bulletin. I will read the light print, and please respond with the dark print. Hallelujah. Give praise, you servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord.
The name of the Lord be blessed, from this time forth forevermore.
From the rising of the sun to its going down, let the name of the Lord be praised.
The Lord is high above all nations, God's glory above the heavens.
Who is like the Lord our God, who sits enthroned on high?
But stoops to behold the heavens and the earth.
The Lord takes up the weak out of the dust and lifts up the poor from the ashes,
enthroning them with the rulers of the people.
The Lord makes the woman of a childless house to be a joyful mother of children. Hallelujah. A reading from the first letter to Timothy. Hear now the word. First of all, then, I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for everyone, for kings and all in high positions, so that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and dignity. This is right and acceptable before God our Savior, who desires everyone to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God. There is also one mediator between God and humankind, Jesus Christ, himself human, who gave himself a ransom for all. This was attested at the right time. For this I was appointed a herald and an apostle. I am telling the truth. I am not lying, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and truth. Holy wisdom, holy word.
Thanks be to God.
Charges were brought to him that this man was squandering his property. So he summoned him and said to him, "What is this that I hear about you? Give me an account of your manager, because you cannot be my manager any longer." Then the manager said to himself, "What will I do now that my master is taking the position away from me? I am not strong enough to dig, and I am too ashamed to beg. I have decided what to do so that, when I am dismissed as manager, people may welcome me into their homes." So, summoning his master's debtors one by one, he asked the first, "How much do you owe my master?" He answered, 100 jugs of olive oil. He said to him, take your bill, sit down quickly, and make it 50. Then he asked another, how much do you owe? And he replied, 100 containers of wheat. He said to him, take your bill and make it 80. And his master commended the dishonest manager because he had acted shrewdly. For the children of this age are more shrewd in dealing with their own generation than are the children of light. And I tell you, make friends for yourself by means of dishonest wealth, so that when it is gone, they may welcome you into the eternal homes. Whoever is faithful in a very little is faithful also in much. And whoever is dishonest in a very little is dishonest also in much. If then you have not been faithful with the dishonest wealth, who will entrust to you the true riches? And you have not been faithful with what belongs to another, who will give you what is your own? No slave can serve two masters, for a slave will either hate the one and love the other, or be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth. The Gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Ooh, it's a hard text. I was almost tempted to see if Pastor Newt was available to read. Well, I told you about Maisie the ferret before, so I'm going to start with a little story of little Maisie. She was part of our original three. And of course, with every new ferret that comes into the house comes the arduous task of trying to litter train them. They're not like cats. They do not take it to instinct, so you have to train diligently. And with most things in life, I found that the best way to get someone to do what you want them to do is with a bribe, bribe money. So she goes where she's supposed to, she gets the treat. Well, then one morning I woke up and I was coming down and I was still groggy, and little Maisie ran to her corner and they back up to do their business. So if imagine a small car with a trailer, and that's what a ferret looks like backing up. Then there was this little California stop, and then she came bounding with hope and joy towards me for that little treat. And I said to myself, self, I don't think she actually did anything. It was just too quick. But she was also just too adorable not to give the treat, so got the treat. But I said, you know, I took a solemn vow. Next time she does that, I'm going to carefully watch what happens. And if I have any fans of SpongeBob in the room, the phrase, a few moments later, she was running to that corner again, doing the car backup thing, and I snuck over to see what was happening. Again, the California stop, and then off to go to get her treat. Aha! An act of deception. This little one had already learned the game. Get the pretend to go, get the treat. So I picked her up, and I gave her one of my dad lectures about proper and improper way of dealing with people you love. She gave me a lick on the nose. She's too adorable not to, so I gave her a treat. And so the tension. I did not necessarily approve appreciate what she did or did not do. However, but she was so adorable doing it that I actually loved her even more. And I think maybe that is somewhat of the tension in our text this morning. It is a very, very difficult text, very ambiguous. I don't know if anyone really knows what Jesus is trying to say in this text, because there's so many interpretive options. You kind of have to decide if the manager is a Robin Hood figure, or the manager is just a scoundrel. It can go either way. As I said, it's ambiguous. Very difficult to know. But it seems that the shrewdness what this dishonest manager is doing is what is being commended, not the specific action. And I found an abstract quote because I studied diligently this text, and I was looking up some word studies on the word mammon, which is the word we get interpreted in our text as dishonest wealth. And I found this one person arguing a certain way, they had a quote. I know it's an abstract quote, but let me say it. The ethically unobjectionable and religiously prudent use of earthly riches in the service of love for the others is something which the righteous may learn from the ethically unjustifiable but clever use of money for corrupt purposes, as they may be seen in the world. I know there's a lot there. I don't have time to unpack it all. But I think what the author is saying is, be more like Maisie. Be clever in the world and do good. And so, as I was wrestling with this, and again, it's ambiguous, so please be kind. But this parable also makes me think of our story. And when I talk about symbols and stories, again, think of it as fractals. You can zoom in, you can zoom out, it's still true. But what is the story? A manager is giving some property. He's giving something to take care of. Well, that seems like that's our story too. That seems to be the creation story, right? God makes the world. God puts an icon of God's self in the world, Adam and Eve, and he says, here, take care of the world. We've been given things to take care of. Secondly, we misuse these things. And again, fractal in, fractal out, our lives, our world, our history is a long story of us mismanaging that which God has given us. And thirdly, it's going to be taken away from me. Well, this also is our story. I know Easter and Lent are a long way away, but on Ash Wednesday, we gather with those words, from dust to dust. Everything that has been given to you will return to you. I don't have to labor that point in this congregation. It's all too obvious. So we've been given something to take care of, we have mismanaged it, and it's going to be taken from you. That's the story of our lives. So the question of the text then is this. What are you doing with the stuff that you've been given before it is taken away from you? Are you using what you have to love the world, to love God, to make the world a better place? Or are you hoarding those things for ourselves? So that is the question. But then, as Paul Harvey would say, and the rest of the story, I fibbed a little bit. As I said, everything you have will be taken away. But the good news of our faith is that because of the action of God coming to live among us, to take sin, death, and the devil to the cross, we have a victory over death. We have a victory over sin. Your lives go on. So not everything is taken from you, because in Christ, in the love of God, we go on. God so loves the world that he gives us eternal life. And in the midst of that eternal life, that eternal hope that we cling to, I think maybe we redefine the question I said in this text is asking us. Because we've been given a whole bunch of things to take care of. And those things are going away. But you know what? Not all of those things are going away. They're being transformed into a new creation. I mean, some things aren't coming with us. Like death is gone. Hatred is gone. In unrighteousness will be burnt away into purity. Life, faith, hope, love, these things are eternal. And so the question that I said our text asks us, maybe could you read it defined as this? You've been given a whole bunch of stuff. We've mismanaged a whole bunch of stuff. But what are we going to do with the stuff that we have between now and it is transformed into the new creation? My friends, our money is not coming with us into the new creation. Our false selves are not coming with us into the new creation. Maybe the challenge of the text is to use all these things that we know are not coming into eternity with us now for the good of the world, so that we can learn to love God and ourselves. And so this is what our table invites us to come before this great mystery that Christ has died for you. Christ has risen for you. Christ is now in you, with you, for you. Let us eat together. And may we learn to live into the light of eternity, where we know that faith, hope, and love endure forever. Amen.
Thank you.
Gracious God, we come to you in prayer for the church, the world, and all in need. O God, teach your church to act in solidarity with the poor, frustrating the efforts of those who trample on the needy, and practicing justice in our own life and community. God of grace,
receive our prayer.
Almighty Creator, we pray for an end to the misuse of the earth and its resources, that all people may benefit from your abundant gifts, and that our stewardship of creation would be marked by justice and sustainability. God of grace,
receive our prayer.
Holy One, embolden elected leaders to pursue policies of economic justice for the benefit of all, especially those who are the most vulnerable and marginalized. Persuade them by your example of generosity and compassion. God of grace,
receive our prayer.
Compassionate God, we pray for all facing illness, those near death, or those grieving the loss of loved ones, especially Joe, Carol, Misty, Annette, George, Vince, Dietmar, Michael, Marty, Victor, Corinne, Julie, Dan, Paul, Mike, Kenneth, Tracy, Emma, Catalea Neve, and her parents and grandparents, Eric, Artemio, Angela, Jody, Samuel, Ed, the family of Dean Hill, for immigrants and refugees, that they may be treated justly, their dignity honored, and their rights upheld. For victims of war and violence, for victims of natural disasters in our nation and around the world, and also for those people whom we name aloud or in our hearts. May they find comfort and strength in your love. Prepare us to surround them with your healing care. God of grace,
answer our prayer.
God of love, motivate our congregation to enact economic justice through tangible action, prioritizing the needs of our community and sharing resources generously through our outreach and justice ministries. God of grace,
receive our prayer.
Gracious God, we give thanks for the saints who now join the heavenly chorus in praising your name. Lift us up from the dust of grief and remind us of your promise of new life. God of grace,
receive our prayer.
We entrust these prayers to you, O God, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Redeemer and friend.
Amen.
May the peace of Christ be with you all.
And also with you.
I invite you now to share the peace of Christ with those around you.
Thank you.
I invite us all back, and please stand for our offering hymn. Given to us. Turn us to set our hope not on the uncertainty of riches, but on you, who richly provides for us. Multiply what we have gathered to bless all who are suffering and in need, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen. Stretched out his hand in suffering in order to free from suffering those who trust you. He is the one who handed over to a death he freely accepted in order to destroy death, to break the bonds of the evil one, to to crush hell underfoot, to give light to the righteous, to establish his covenant, and to show forth the resurrection. Taking bread and giving thanks to you, he said, take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me. And in the same way, he took the cup, gave thanks, gave it for all to drink, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me. Remembering then his death and resurrection, we take this bread and cup, giving you thanks that you have made us worthy to stand before you and to serve you as your priestly people. Send your spirit upon these gifts of your church. Gather into one all who share this bread and wine. Fill us with your Holy Spirit to establish our faith in truth, that we may praise and glorify you through your Son, Jesus Christ, through whom all glory and honor are yours, Almighty Father, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, both now and forever.
Amen.
Let us pray as Jesus taught us. Our Father in heaven,
hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
You may be seated. Friends, this is the table of God, and it's open for all the people. And all means all, which means all, which means all. If you're wondering if you're part of the all, then yes, part of the all. All are invited to come forward and partake. In a few moments, the ushers will come, and we ask that you fill our communion rail from right to left. You may receive communion either standing or kneeling, whatever is comfortable to you. Only extend your hand out, and the bread will be given to you. There is gluten-free options upon request. And then once the wine is handed out, we invite you to reach in and either take the red cup, which is wine, or the clear cup, which is grape juice. But no, all are welcome to this table, because this table is for all. Amen.
Amen.
grace.
Amen. Amen.
Let us pray. O God, through this meal, you have strengthened us and appointed us to be your servants. Send us to do good and to share our possessions with all in need. We ask this in Jesus' name.
Amen.
And friends, we just pause now for some announcements, and it's looking like it's going to be on the busier side of the week for us here at the church. Please avail all of yourself of all the activities you so choose. We'll have Wednesday, we have our contemplative prayer here at noon. Thursday, we still have scheduled our beach walks, but I know the weather is kind of churning, so if you would like to participate in the beach walks on Thursday, know that your time is ticking before winter comes. Also this weekend, we have two big events coming up. So the memorial service for Dean Hill will be here on Saturday at 1 o'clock with reception downstairs. And then on Sunday, this is what we've been working up for all year, folks. Lisa Higginbotham will be here from the ELCA Foundation to talk about legacy giving downstairs after service. Food will be provided. Food and treats will be provided, folks. So if you don't want to come listen to her, at least come for the food. But she'll present information about legacy giving, and it's always good to have information. And I say it's always better to know something than to not know. So if you're on the fence about what legacy giving is, come, have your sandwich and your snack, listen to the presentation. There is no pressure on anybody to leave a legacy gift. This is only information. And she's here also if someone feels so called. She'll be here on Monday as well if you want a follow-up conversation. Please just see this as an extension of a gracious gift that they are giving us for the presentation and the time for fellowship and to show her a great welcome. With that also being said, I am going to invite each forward to give a little talk.
Well, you'll notice I didn't come up here with a whole handful of notes and stuff. Today I'm going to try to do it from the heart, which is where your giving should come from. And one thing I want to talk about is this Reflections of Faith and Finances. It's a book that's out there on the table, and I know you discussed it in the book club, and I missed that. But what really stands out to me in this book is the third chapter, and it's about giving, cheerful giving, and what makes you feel good and what comes from the heart. So last week, Dave talked about our endowment committee and our endowment funds and what that giving does. Talked about the memorial garden. One of the other things I wanted to bring to your attention was that we have a pastor, Travis Larson, who took his internship here in this church and then became pastor. He is the pastor now in Pendleton. And when you think about your giving and legacy giving and that kind of giving, wouldn't it be nice if we could send another young man or woman to be a pastor in a church in Pendleton or some other city in Oregon? I mean, we did it once in this church, we could do it again. And that's another thing that you can think about in your legacy giving. But do it cheerfully. Do it from the heart. That's where it's got to come from. Thanks.
And let's prepare our hearts for the benediction. May the God of righteousness, who gives justice to the oppressed, who gives food to the hungry, who sets the prisoner free, bless you now and forever.
Amen. Amen.